Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the NFL Stock Exchange Podcast. In this episode, we're doing a lot. We're jam-packing a ton into this episode. Since we only have one more until Thanksgiving Day, we're taking a look at the updated draft order for the 2023 NFL Draft, going down and talking about all sorts of scenarios, not just players that teams could pick, but also trading up, trading back, plenty of different conspiracy theories for what could be the 2023 NFL Draft. It's a good conversation. And we're also going to take a look at the All-Star events, the Senior Bowl, the Shrine Bowl, some accepted invites already, and highlight some players we're really looking forward to watching when the All-Star circuit comes around on the draft calendar. I'm Trevor Sikkema. With me, as always, is Connor Rogers. Let's ring the bell. Welcome to the opening bell of the NFL Stock Exchange Podcast. I'm Trevor Sikkema. That is Connor Rogers. Joining you guys for the last time this week, as it is Thanksgiving week. But we're going out with a bang, Connor. We've got a fantastic show here for the good people today to get them ready for their holiday season and Thanksgiving. We're going to be talking about the updated draft order, which we are calling this episode the Thanksgiving Special. Get it? Because they're tanking, because it's Thanksgiving, and we're bad with puns and manipulation. We couldn't help ourselves. So it's the Thanksgiving special episode, talking about a lot of the teams that are in the top 10, top 15. We're going to be updating the draft order, talking about some team needs, some potential fits for them. And then at the end of the show, something I'm really looking forward to, shoot, maybe this will be half the show. I'm not even sure yet. But we want to go through some of the early accepted invites from both the Senior Bowl and the Shrine Bowl, because draft season's coming around. We're updating the order. We're doing all that stuff. But also a major part of draft season is those all-star events. So we're going to get some guys on your radar, talk about who's already accepted their invites, and have a little bit of a guessing game conversation about who might go to these games that has not accepted their invites yet. Connor, how are we feeling on this Tuesday of Thanksgiving week?
Good, man. This is always that day where you kind of floor it to do everything you got to do. You don't shortchange any of the content. You take it very, very seriously. But in the back of your mind, you know that you are nearing a very, it's like not the media bye week, because it's not a week. It's literally like half of Wednesday and Thursday. Right. Thursday football is still on. It doesn't feel like work. And then you're really right back to it on Friday. So it's a really fun break. This is a good point of the season for us to kind of decipher what teams either need to tank, or it's good to tank, or could be in the pits depending on their schedule. And of course, we've had plenty of accepted invites come in for both all-star games that we're going to get through as well. Like you said, trying to project maybe some of the headliners for those games too. So, man, I woke up today and I was like, dude, I can't believe it's almost time to figure out travel.
I know,
all this stuff. That's what kind of shook me. I was like, oh my goodness, it's going to be December soon, which means you got to get all-star game travel together. This stuff all comes really quick and furious. Everyone's going to be in draft season soon. It's nuts.
This is normally the time, though. You know, I feel right around the time when we're having our debates of whether or not we put the Christmas tree up, that's also a good sign of when you can start to turn the page and really get into draft season. Obviously, you guys have been listening to this podcast since the beginning of the season, which we absolutely love you for. You've had an eye towards the draft, but I'm hoping that we get some new listeners and some new fans of the show as well as we get closer to draft season. You and I actually had to stop ourselves because we have not really had a conversation between the two of us of who we really think is going to end up at the Senior Bowl and the Shrine Bowl. And we started getting into that conversation and we had to be like, whoa, hold on. Don't do the pod before the pod.
We were halfway done and we're like, all right, stop.
This is a good conversation. I want the people to hear this because I want you guys to get in on it too. Not just when we talk about your teams in the draft order, but we'd also love to hear from you when we start talking about prospects we would love to see in the All-Star Circuit this upcoming year. We would love to hear from you guys as well in that regard. Connor, before we dig into the updated draft order, we did have a take during the summer months where I think somebody asked us what the most overrated holiday was, and you brought Thanksgiving to the table. Now, to be fair to you,
I'm not wavering.
You weren't killing Thanksgiving. You weren't saying it's a miserable holiday, but...
No, something wrong with it.
You said it was a little bit overrated. I think that were talking about the food specifically of Thanksgiving that was a little
bit... I think I said the exact quote was, it is not a top five. At least top three. Top three. It's not top three. I know not that.
Top three.
Okay. Not even close. It's not even sniff. Top three. I stand by the take. It's a fine holiday. I think the schedule actually this year is really good because I remember at the time I said the football stinks.
You did say the football stinks.
I said bad football is better than no football. But the Lions are now very exciting. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys are very, very good. You get that third game, which usually has talent. This Thanksgiving, the schedule is very, very good.
Yep.
But I will stand by that turkey is a bottom tier meat. And that's a huge issue. It's a huge issue. I don't care if you fry it. I don't care what you do. It's a bottom tier meat.
I think ham's the bottom tier meat, so that doesn't exactly help the Thanksgiving take, though. But I also like turkey. I'm a turkey guy.
Oh, I like turkey. I love you, and I love food. I will eat everything in sight. That's why we're 6'5", 240. We're not. We just accidentally become 6'5", 240 by just being picky about what we eat. But
no, we didn't.
But I'm just saying, it's you got to call you got to stack the deck and look at everything.
Somebody's going to meet us for the first time during the combine or the All-Star Circuit, and they're going to be like, I thought you guys were 6'5", 240.
In your hearts.
And I'm just going to tell people, and every time they come up to me, I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm cutting right now. I'm on a little bit of a cut. Yeah. We're just cutting. Shrinking. We're getting the weight down. We're shredding a little bit. Man, and that really also bad. Means we lost 5 inches on our height there. But it's all part of cutting season. You gotta make weight. All right, let's get into this draft order. If you guys have Thanksgiving takes, whether it's good or bad, whether it's food related or just holiday related, we'd love to hear from you. Tweet at us. We're obviously going to be active throughout the holiday season, so we'd love to hear from you. But updating the draft order. Number one, no change here. It's the Houston Texans. They are certainly earning that number one overall pick spot, 8-1, 8-1 on the year. Shout out that tie there, which complicates things a little bit, but they've got a 2-game lead on the team that's number two, and that's the Carolina Panthers now. Welcome back. Welcome back, Carolina. You did it. I was worried about you there. Worried about you there for a second. In fact, I'm still worried about you because you have one of the easiest schedules in the NFL moving forward, but you look competitive, yet you're still getting losses. You're sitting here at number two overall. You love to see that. Chicago Bears kind of in the same boat, right? Look competitive. They look better, but they're still losing games. It's almost the best of both worlds. They're sitting there at number three. Las Vegas Raiders, huge win. Huge win over the Denver Broncos this past weekend. Gets them to 3-7, but drops them to number four in the draft order. Speaking of the Denver Broncos, their original pick, which now belongs to the Seattle Seahawks, thanks to the Russell Wilson trade, is at number five. So we got Vegas at number four, Seattle at number five, Detroit at number six due to the Jared Goff trade. And then the Houston Texans again sitting at number seven. They've got 1-7, Connor. That is some control over the top part of the draft thanks to the Deshaun Watson trade. You got Pittsburgh sitting there at number eight, Jacksonville's at nine, Philly all the way down at number 10. They were picking number five last week, so that's the biggest drop, the most significant drop that we have here with New Orleans beating the Rams this past week. Arizona sitting there at number 11, Green Bay at 12, Detroit at 13. So Detroit right now, they have 6-13. Colts sitting there at number 14, almost won this past weekend, which would have vaulted them even further down the order. Atlanta Falcons at 15, Chargers 16, Washington 17, and your New York Jets joining the party for the first time in a long time at number 18 before we get that playoff cutoff there. Is there a team that you want to start with? Anything from the updated order that really sticks out to you one way or the other?
I think we start at the top because it is Thanksgiving, and by start at the top, it's kind of starting at the bottom. I don't think anybody is going to challenge the Texans for the number one overall pick. And I think that is great news for Houston. I really do. On PFF's power rankings, the average win projection for the Texans is 3.2. Ooh. The closest team is the Bears at 4.9. That is a big disparity. The only thing I will say is we don't know the severity of Justin Fields' shoulder. I mean, when your coach gives you day to day, but could be season ending.
Yeah, what?
Come on, dude.
What in the world is that?
Insanity.
What in the world is that? It's, you know, for a moment when I read that, you know how sometimes when we get to weeks like 16 and 17 and somebody will like have a sprained ankle.
Yeah.
And they'll tweet out like, oh, it's season ending. Right when you reach season end, you're like, whoa, it's worse than I thought.
Just going to make it to OTA.
And in reality, you're like, oh, wait, season ending means 2 weeks. Yeah. So I for a minute there, I thought that's what that was. We're sitting here week 11. Day to day or season ending? What is that?
I guess they want the Jets to prepare for both him, even if he can't play, compared to Trevor Siemian. I mean, okay. So we'll see where that goes, because Trevor Siemian starting for the Bears does make a big difference in their win projection, but I still stand by that the Texans will have the number one overall pick. They, I think, will draft Bryce, but we'll take our time getting there. They'll draft a quarterback. Davis Mills is, the team's been bad, but Davis Mills on his own has been bad. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, it's just, you nailed it in the beginning, Trevor. The Texans having two top 10 picks in this draft, if ultimately that Cleveland pick does end up that way. Mm-hmm. And if your argument is Deshaun Watson's coming back, did you watch what Jacoby Brissett did last weekend?
Jacoby wasn't the problem.
Not even close. He was the answer for a lot of the game. Right. So I think this is a turning point for the Texans franchise that can change everything for them if they get it right.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. I'm looking at the Texans schedule right now because, you know, they do have the fourth toughest schedule remaining. Mm-hmm. So them being 1-8-1 comes off of them having the 26th toughest schedule up to this point. If you can do math, 32 teams in the NFL, 26 out of 32. That's one of the easier schedules in the NFL, and they're sitting here at 1-8-1 for it. Yeah. So Texans, next game is against the Miami Dolphins. It's in Miami. That's an L. They host the Browns. Maybe. I'll give you a chance there. And then it's at Dallas, loss. Versus the Chiefs, loss. At Tennessee, loss. Versus the Jags. Okay, maybe. And then they finish in Indianapolis against the Colts, which we are seeing are no pushover team, as long as the team can stay healthy and they're not going to lose a bunch of people between now and then. So, you know, you said the PFF projects them with, what was it, 3.2 wins. Obviously, you can't have a 0.2, but that's closer to 3. So they're even giving the Texans two more wins. So if you give them the Browns win, you give them the Jags win, it's hard to see any other win on their schedule. So I think we're pretty much locking it in here with Houston having the number one overall pick. The tie screws them a little bit. I mean, they probably wish that was a loss at this point, but I still don't think anybody's really going to challenge him. So I think that they're pretty safe at number one overall. Carolina, I mentioned this might get a little bit difficult for Carolina here. They've shown some spunk over the last couple of weeks. They basically took the Ravens down to the wire. That game was 3-3 in Baltimore until the fourth quarter when obviously Lamar Jackson became Lamar Jackson. He was able to get in the end zone finally, and so they were able to win that game. The offense for Carolina is just abysmal, but you figure if it looks a little bit better some weeks, Carolina's got the 30th easiest schedule, or I should say 30th. Can I talk, Trevor? 30th toughest schedule left, which is the third easiest schedule remaining.
They still have a chance to make the playoffs by this metric, 2%.
They do.
There's a chance.
Let me see Carolina's schedule. Let me read this off. Let me see what we're working with here. Okay. Next game. Home against the Denver Broncos. Could be a win. Then it's at Seattle across the country against the Seahawks. Probably lost. And it's home against the Steelers. It could be a win. And it's home against the Lions. also could be a win. Down in Tampa, they're facing the Bucks. That's probably a loss. And then it's the Saints in New Orleans. Man, if you're a Carolina fan hoping for a top two pick, that's not the schedule you want to see, Connor. That's definitely not the schedule you want to see. I think I already know the answer to this, but is Carolina a team where you think they just have to be gunning for one of these top two spots for a quarterback, or would they be okay with, like, let's say the fourth, fifth overall pick, and if they get one of those, I don't know, what's the game plan there?
It's not where you want to be. It's as simple as that. And that's why if I was the Panthers, I would have fear internally, because you never talk about this publicly because the team's still playing, that if the Bears have to play Trevor Siemian,
you're in trouble.
We don't know, right? So it's so hard to talk about. But Fields' body language at the end of that game, he was in significant pain. I know there's contradicting reports. Some big insiders say it's a shoulder dislocation. Some say it's a sprain. It's a quarterback, a young quarterback, that's taken a million hits lately with a shoulder injury. Mm-hmm. In a season where you're 3-8. You've won three games. You've beaten Trey Lance in the rain, the Patriots, and Davis Mills. Like, shut this dude down if that's the case. So besides all that, yeah. I mean, and then if the Bears are sitting at 2, assuming that they are all in on Justin Fields, and I think we'd be floored if it was anything but that at this point.
Right.
They hold the keys to the trade card right there.
Yeah. No, that's...
You don't want to find yourself in the bidding to move up if you're Carolina.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You need picks. You need to fill out a roster. You've traded a ton of picks over the years. So
I'm looking at Chicago and I'm like, yeah, Chicago's not one of those teams that has to have one of those top two picks, but you'd still love to do that because I think you get a King's ransom for it. Quarterback class.
King's ransom, Jalen Carter, Will Anderson. The options are all good for you. And Chicago needs help on both sides of the trenches. If they move back, they can capitalize on this tackle class because they still need offensive line help as well. So, I mean, they need a lot of help on that roster, but they're in a good spot.
I think Chicago would trade within the division for quarterback.
Great question.
Because I'm looking at it right now. Obviously, we've seen from Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the general manager for the Minnesota Vikings, that they do not care because they're doing a trade in which they think they're getting the better deal anyway. So they're like, yeah, we don't really care if it's in the division. There's not a major tax for trading within the division. You have talked about that before on this podcast. And I'm thinking to myself, if Chicago, let's just say the Carolina and Chicago flip, because I got the same record right now, but the strength of schedule is favoring Carolina. So let's just say it's the same exact order, except Chicago's picking at 2, Carolina's picking at 3. You've got the prospect of getting Bryce Young or CJ Stroud, those top two cornerbacks. Detroit's then sitting there, and we talked about a little bit about this last week. Detroit's got 6, and they have 13 right now. 6 and 13 is probably all you need to move up to 2, unless Chicago and Ryan Poles, as their general manager, would say, we want something in future years as well. We don't just want it all on this year. Then maybe you can probably keep number 13, trade away number 6, and maybe a first rounder next year, which, maybe you'd want to do more if you're the Lions. I'm not exactly sure, but I look at Chicago, and we talked about trading back for the Pittsburgh Steelers last week because they were picking a lot higher in the order at one point this season. Maybe it was last week, maybe the week before.
Yeah, they were in the top 5.
But I referenced Detroit as a team that could really hold the cards here. Brad Holmes could choose to get very aggressive given that they have 2 picks in the top 5. But if it's Chicago that's at number 2, does that complicate things? Does that take Detroit all of a sudden out of the running for a quarterback? Because then, if you're going even taking it a step further, then a team like Carolina might be able to say, okay, well, who's bidding to get up to number 2? Because we know that you're not going to trade with the Lions. So that's one less team that we're going to have to bid against. Maybe the price gets a little bit lower if the Lions aren't involved. So this is just, I'm kind of big braining this current scenario here, but it is fascinating if Carolina were to win one or two more football games down the stretch and the Chicago Bears were to end up with a higher draft pick than them. If they get number 2, does it take the Lions out of it?
Mm-hmm. And if I'm the Lions, I'm not giving Chicago 2 top 15 picks to move up a little bit.
So you would, because, so if you were, the Lions and you had the chance to go and get CJ Stroud, you wouldn't do it. You'd stick with your top two picks.
Not to a division rival. No way. Let's stay in this scenario and say then Chicago picks 6 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're telling me they have Justin Fields with a franchise tackle or Will Anderson and Jalen Carter, and they wait on the tackle till 13, because I will emphasize this tackle class grows stronger by the day.
It does indeed.
I liked CJ Stroud a lot last year and over the summer and still do. I don't value CJ Stroud as a, you have to get to number two to get him. I don't know where I'm going to end up with him in total. Obviously, I flipped and see Bryce as the best quarterback in this class, and that's a player for the Lions that I would do that for, because I just think his floor is so high, which is so rare for a quarterback prospect to have a high floor. But I think he's going number one to Houston. So, no, I would not do that if I was the Lions, because the thing nobody really wants to talk about is Jared Goff is fine. Is he winning you a Super Bowl? Probably not. But you are not in a position where you're like, if we don't change quarterback around here, we're going to get fired. If you get two premier players at 6 and 13,
mm-hmm.
and say you, there's so many paths, Trevor, right? Like, that's where it's tricky. It's like, is the 13th pick Will Levis? And that's your guy developing behind Goff or whoever it may be.
It feels like if you're getting Levis, it'd probably be at 6 instead of 13.
Yeah, which I hate that, but you're right, probably. I think he's going a lot higher than we or I act like. So,
right.
Oh, it's tricky. I look at the Lions and I go, how much of their problems are Jared Goff related? I mean, yes, you would like someone to take them over the top.
I do hear what you're saying, and I don't totally disagree with you. I know we're spending a lot of time on the Lions, but kind of what they do, like we said, holding those two picks in the top 15 definitely controls a lot of the narrative. The issue to me is that if you don't change quarterback, and I'm not saying this is a good reason to do it, because you never want to be backed into a corner and do something out of desperation when it comes to the NFL draft. You want to avoid that at all costs. But let's say Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes are picking again, meaning neither of them got fired. If you go into next season with Jared Goff and you finish 500 again, do these guys keep their jobs? It's almost like it. That's to me. Then what we're talking about here, because I agree with you, Jared Goff isn't the worst quarterback in the world. He's not. But until you get a franchise quarterback in there, you can't really turn the page to fully invest in whatever is going to be the next phase of Lions football. I'm not saying that has to come at the top. I'm not saying that has to come at number two. Maybe you draft Will Levis at 6. Maybe you draft Tanner McKee at 13. Maybe you draft Anthony Richardson at 13 or at the top of the second round, wherever the hell Richardson's going to go, because who knows at this point. But
seriously,
I just think that no matter what, and I went to look at the full draft order, and the Lions also, as of right now, have, I want to make sure I don't miss any here. They have pick number 45 in the second round, so about 13 picks into the second round. And then they also have Minnesota selection at the back end of the second round too, number 62. So they do have ammunition still in the second and third round. Even they have a third round pick, number 77, which is again, 13 picks into the second round. So they've got plenty of ammunition there. I just think the most important part is you can't only go into it with Jared Goff.
No.
My thing is that, like, if you don't feel like CJ Stroud or Bryce Young is your guy at number two, and you're okay with taking another quarterback, you just have to at some point. I would tell you, you cannot get out of your next three picks. So 6, 13, and then whatever I said, 45 in the second round. One of those then has to be a quarterback somewhere, because you have to give something to sell the fan base. Also don't want you to be dumb about that and say like, oh yeah, just any quarterback will do. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, it gets sort of complicated for the Lions. And meanwhile, while I was thinking about that too, shoot, if Chicago's picking at number two, let's just say they get picked number 6 and number 13. All of a sudden, Chicago's got an improved offensive line that we saw this year. They'll probably have their pick at whoever they want an offensive line, a Paris Johnson Jr., a Peter Skoronski, Olu Fashanu, whoever Roger. They want. And then at 13, Maybe you get Quentin Johnston there, right? Maybe you get wide receiver one at 13, which I think a lot of people would then be pretty comfortable with. So then it's Quentin Johnston, it's Darnell Mooney, it's Chase Claypool, it's Cole Kmet. All of a sudden, it's not bad. Not bad in Chicago. That's all I'm saying.
Do you think the Niners trade Trey Lance this offseason?
No. God, no.
You don't? Okay.
What would they get for him?
I don't know. I just raise the question every time I watch them start to get hot with Jimmy.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I think no, but I just want to put it out there as if this happens, it changes everything.
The problem is that the 49ers were a play or two away from the Super Bowl last year. And
with Jimmy,
there's a realistic, there is a world in which it is realistic to think that they're there again with Jimmy.
The Niners are my favorite team in the NFC right now besides Dallas. And I know it's insane to say that with how good the Eagles are. It's pretty even amongst the three.
But they're all right there. They're all right there, I think.
I think they're very even. Very even. And I know some people think that's shade towards Minnesota. I don't put Minnesota in the same tier as those three, despite wins. Because Jimmy will be a free agent.
But what do you even get for... Right, so you can't trade Jimmy after the end of the year.
A highly desired free agent, in a sense.
What do you get for Lance?
That's my question. Do you get a 2 and a 3? Man, that's a bad return. That's a bad return after what you gave up for him.
No, you can... I think you can get more for Trey Lance. I've got to think you can get more for Trey Lance. If this dude went for... I mean... He didn't go for this price, but the Niners had this price to move up for it. Basically, three first-round picks. You cannot do a Trey Lance deal without a first-round pick in there from somebody.
I don't think anyone gives one up for Trey Lance.
I probably don't think so either. I mean,
wild.
Teams that would entertain Lance being on the trading block, I think the Raiders, I think the Colts.
The Lions should.
The Lions would. I agree with you.
You're looking at the teams that miss. They're going to miss in this draft on getting a quarterback, right?
Giants. Depending on where they finish.
Saints. Saints are always in hell.
Big brain move would be the Buccaneers, but I don't think that we'd get to that reality unless a lot of things change. But
how about Atlanta?
Yeah.
I think that'd be my favorite spot.
Well, I mean, what's Atlanta? Atlanta's picking 15th. So you're not giving 15. So that's a team that if Trey Lance is going for a first round pick, it's not the Raiders, it's not Atlanta, it's not the Lions. I mean, maybe the Giants, but no, probably not. The problem is the trade just haven't proven anything. Now he's hurt.
It's a total wild card. It's a total wild card.
Way to drop that grenade just straight into my lap here on the Thanksgiving episode.
I did not even I didn't warn him in the slightest, but I actually didn't even have it in my brain.
You're just like, what if? And the podcast just goes absolutely off the rails.
Because I watch the Niners and I'm just like, listen, I'm not an idiot. When people hear me on this pod, carry the flag for Jared Goff and Jimmy Garoppolo. Folks, I'm not saying they're elite quarterbacks. But when you watch, especially Jimmy in Kyle's offense, which is, hey, do what I say, and he does, and it works.
Yeah.
He's going to be such an interesting free agent. What a wild career arc he's had. I mean, I'll tell you right now, with what's going on with the Jets and Zach Wilson, Mike LaFleur would bang that drum right away for him. Oh, they'd pay him.
Sure.
Right. So he's going to have a market, and it's not just the Jets. There's other teams. So
I didn't think we were going to
have
to
wonder.
I didn't think we were going to have a trade.
Because it does impact the top of the draft.
Yeah. It could if he becomes available. Will. Damn, that's an interesting scenario. I liked opening up the brain and the imagination of that. Y'all let us know what you think as well. Would Trey Lance ever even be on the table, you think? Or, and if he would, would teams go after him? What would the price be? All right, we'll talk a little bit more about the order before we get into some All-Star game stuff. But I want to talk to you guys about our friends over at DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. They're our go-to when betting on the NFL this holiday season. You guys have heard us talk a lot about player props and some same-game parlays that we were doing when we were betting on Thursday earlier in the season. This is the place to place the bets, okay? Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if you do. Check this out. Right now, everyone can earn up to 100% on a boost with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook app, place a same game parlay, and combine multiple bets like which team will win, some player props, point totals, whatever it is. The more legs you add, the bigger the payout, the bigger the boost, the bigger your shot to win big. DraftKings Sportsbook is our favorite place to place the bets when we use the green line tool over at pff.com. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use the promo code PFF, and place a $5 bet on any NFL team to win their game and get a $150 in free bets if you do. Only DraftKings Sportsbook using the promo code PFF. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Also, got to talk to you about our friends over at Mojo by asking, what if you could have invested in Tom Brady's stock as a rookie? Crazy, right? Going all the way back there. No, like, a revisionist history. But I'm just saying, if you could have put some cheddar down on a Tom Brady stock, you know what? Your investment would be worth over 4,000% today. Anybody who knows the stock market knows that is hitting it big. That is rich. That is a yacht. That is retiring. That is never working again. Now it's not a what if, but now it's a who's next. Mojo is the all-new sports stock market that lets you invest in your favorite athletes and cash in on your passion. Sign up right now on the Apple App Store to get your first stock for free, which, as we said, could be up to $10,000. Over 300 players are listed on Mojo right now, so you can invest in rookies like Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Drake London, comeback candidates like Geno Smith, Saquon Barkley, and even superstars like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Go along and make money when an underrated diamond in the rough breaks out, or you can even get a little conniving with it. Short sell an overrated rival if you think that they're going to flop, and so you can more earn money that way as well. Price move with every play, every game, and every headline. You can buy and sell instantly anytime all year long, so the action never stops. Mojo is live in New Jersey right now, so download the Mojo app in the App Store today and start turning playmakers into moneymakers. You must be 21 years or older to use Mojo and located in New Jersey to make trades. If you got a gambling problem, help is available at 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit mojo.com for more info. Connor, anything about the rest of the draft order? I guess like 5 through 18, any of those teams stand out to you that you'd love to see get a little bit higher in the order or anything like that?
The tricky one is just that so many of these teams don't even have their selection, right? I mean, the Rams look awful. The Broncos have looked awful. They don't have their own pick. Mm-hmm. The Saints, who are now, you know, 4-7, which pushed that Eagles pick to 10 overall, would be kind of crazy. I think the team that I'm fascinated by right now in terms of offseason, like structure, is Arizona. Because I don't know how Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury, how they run that back next year. I mean, and then if you have a new regime come in, they're tasked with rebuilding a defense that stinks. I mean, good Lord, can they tackle a tight end? And besides that, You have Kyler Murray's contract, which is not, I'm not going to call Kyler Murray a problem, but you are tasked with building around Kyler Murray for the long-term future, and you need to find the right way to do that. So, I would like to see that Arizona pick climb higher, so whoever gets that job, assuming it's somebody new. And if it's not, Steve Keim is the cat of the NFL. My goodness, 9 lives like no other. Good for you.
I was wondering where you were going with cat. I was wondering.
Yeah, 9 lives, right? That's what they say about cats. I've never had a cat. You know that?
Oh, really? Well, I mean,
I've never had a cat.
You seem like more of a dog person.
That's my mother
loved cats, so I had a cat growing up. But yeah, that is a 9 lives thing. I just didn't know where you were going with the cat thing. She's like, oh, he's the cat of the NFL. I'm like, what is he like? Lick himself to bathe? Like, I don't know. Like, does he cough up hairballs?
Steve Keim always has a bowl of milk around.
you can't let him outside, or you feel like he won't come back. You know, like, I don't know. I didn't know where we were going with that, but
he kills all the rats in the barn.
The 9 lives one. Okay, I mean, maybe he's a hunter. I don't know, but no, the 9 lives thing definitely applies right now, especially for how apathetic it just feels like the Cardinals were. Or the Cardinals currently are. There's no doubt about that. The team that I think is really fascinating, as you were kind of talking about there, what would New Orleans be doing with this 10th pick? You know, I think that they'd be gunning for a quarterback. That's
Me
what
too.
I think they'd be doing.
Yeah.
I think this would be, if New Orleans had their selection, we'd be Will Levis, Tanner McKee. Again, I'll bring up Anthony Richardson, and I know Anthony Richardson's
a long
way.
Tanner McKee's going in the first round? I haven't had a lot of conversation around this, so I'm just curious.
I think he could. I'm wondering who's next, right? We're in this phase right now where quarterbacks are going early and often in the draft, and I guess it's not a phase. I guess this has just been the story of the NFL for forever, but you mentioned it. We think Levis is going higher than what people expect.
I think he's going in the top 10, and I will not have him as a top 10 prospect.
Right. So if we get three quarterbacks in the top 10, what, you're telling me we're going to get 22 picks then without a quarterback? Maybe more, 24, 25 picks without a quarterback? Probably not. It's just not the league as it exists. So, I mean, I'm looking at guys like, you know, we pegged Anthony Richardson and Tyler Van Dyke as guys who could have been first-round prospects before, but they're probably not in that conversation unless Richardson really has a fantastic draft season, which he could. I mean, he seems like a really good kid, and I think an NFL team's going to fall in love with him, and obviously the talent's crazy, but a first-round billing for him would be pretty high. I think Hendon Hooker would have been in that conversation, right? But the torn ACL all of a sudden really complicates things because he's 24 years old right now. He was going to be 25 whenever the next NFL season started. But now that he's coming back from an ACL injury, you're not even getting back to practice until he's almost 26 years old. And the earliest that this dude's basically going to be able to start for you is as a 26-year-old in 2024. So...
Yeah,
I don't think that can spell out a first round prospect for him. So I just wonder who's next, because I do think that there's going to be somebody who's next, and that's kind of what we're going to be. I think it's going to dominate a lot of our conversations here on this show is figuring that part out.
It's a great point. It's November, so I'm not going to sit here and act like I have my quarterback evals written in ink or stacked, but my sky cam view. I mean, Bryce is 1.1. He's the top pick in the draft. I'm thinking CJ is going to be in that mix to go top five. Levis top five, top 10 ish range.
I could sign up on all of this. Yeah.
And then the floodgates kind of open from what I've watched this year. And a lot of it is broadcast. And then I try to get into the coach's tape the next 2 days, but I think Michael Penix has been better than Tanner McKee and Anthony Richardson and Will Levis on the field. I know he's got the injury history. I think McKee's really struggled. Richardson's highs get me excited, and I know he's had lows, but when I see his highs and his age, I'm like, if you're going to try to sell me on a project, that's the guy that I'm going to buy the stock on. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of time left, but man, you just bring that up. It's so fascinating to me. You're right. There's got to be somebody that's going to go, and it's going to be scrutinized and polarizing, and I mean, McKee can go back to school if he wants, and I don't know if he's going to graduate early, and this is our next conversation, because if he is, then he'd have the All-Star game opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot there where he's got a lot left to prove, like a lot of these guys.
Well, I'll round out the top 10 before we kind of flip the page and just start talking about All-Star invites, but Las Vegas Raiders, I mean, some draft targets for them. We've talked about them being in for a quarterback, no doubt about it. It feels
we'll
like
fix them.
It feels like we will. Yeah. We
I saw people get like a little angry if we don't talk about them on Sundays, and I'm like, we got the whole show.
The way that you said that, I don't know, just caught me off guard so bad. And you were just like, yeah, and we'll fix them. Like, as if the team is going to call us. Like, as if we're actually going, you were just
like contractors.
And we will fix the Raiders.
Oh, my God. Like calling a plumber. You're like, Listen, I got this problem right now. You got to get here by tomorrow.
You're calling us in to fix it. But I got to think, you know, if they're sitting around in the top four, top 10 at least, offensive line is probably the next area that they look there. Seattle sitting there at number five. Seattle defensive line, right? I mean, like, that's a prime spot for a Will Anderson, for a Jalen Carter, you know, one of those two dudes that might be still left.
Gino's gonna get paid, man.
Yeah, Gino is gonna get paid.
What do you think off the top of your head Gino's making this year, his cap hit?
Like, you mean like this year currently?
Yeah.
God, it can't be much.
I wouldn't have guessed. I would have got it right.
Can I ask you when he signed the contract? Do you know that?
It does not say. It does not say.
I don't know, like 8 million, 7 million.
His cap hits 3.5 million. His base salary is 1.26 million. God. Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
Gino's about to get paid. So
he is a free agent this offseason.
He's a UFA.
Wow.
We don't get this a lot. The UFA quarterback class, and of course, franchise tags can ruin this, is so good this year in terms of the drama. You have Lamar Jackson, Geno Smith, Jimmy G, Jacoby Brissett. Like, these guys can play. Obviously, Lamar should get whatever he wants. It's a very exciting group. Yeah,
They can't franchise him, right? Because then what does he make on the tag?
Well, then you're paying him like what, like third highest quarterback in the league,
right? Like, what is he?
Can't do that.
What's he making? Like 38 mil or something like that?
I think it's higher. I think it's over 40 now.
Is it for a franchise tag?
Yeah, because Rodgers makes 50. You have guys in the 40s. It's got to be in the 40s.
You can't
tag Geno. You could tag Lamar.
Yeah, you could tag Lamar because you're going to pay him that anyways. But the only reason why you would tag Geno is to make sure that this isn't a one-year wonder kind of a thing. Right. I think that they're a prime trench team on the defensive line. I think no matter what they're. Detroit sitting there at six. Again, they'd love a Jalen Carter, maybe a Brian Brzee, maybe a Miles Murphy, right? One of those guys I think would make a ton of sense for them there at number
six. Aiden, Jalen Carter, Aleem McNeil.
Ooh, would love it. Would love,
I mean,
it.
Young Kings, eat. It would be so awesome.
Would absolutely love it. No, okay, here we go. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Six, you draft Miles Murphy at six. So it's Aiden on one side, Miles Murphy on the other. And then at 13, shit, he's not going to be there. I was going to say Brian Brzee, just to have Aiden, Brian Brzee, Aleem McNeil, and Miles Murphy, but I don't think he's going to be there. I think you're going to have to probably pick a corner then at that point at number 13. But anyways.
Campbell protein package, all four of those guys up front.
Oh, wait, did you just come up with that?
Yeah, the protein package.
Did you just come up with that on the top of off the top of the dome?
Love
that
it, right?
That was good.
Thank you. We'll call it with shirts.
If they beef up the defensive line, we're calling it the Dan Campbell protein package. That's amazing. That's amazing. I hope that bad boy sticks. Pittsburgh, they can go offensive line. I think that's probably an area where they could definitely benefit.
Yeah,
maybe a skill position player as well, but probably offensive line. Jacksonville, a couple of different areas Jacksonville could go. I don't think they need a forced D-line. Secondary is young, and they could definitely use an upgrade in the secondary, I think, but I think they're fine as well. Playmaker, that's really probably where I'm looking, unless you really want to upgrade the offensive line.
Calvin Ridley.
Oh, I know Calvin Ridley. Yeah. I ain't forgetting. And then Philly at number 10. Do whatever the hell you want, Howie. You're better at this than everybody else, it seems. So you can do whatever the hell you want. I have no idea where the Eagles are going to go. I think they'd love to go edge rusher. That's probably if Miles Murphy falls to number 10, I think that he's an easy plug and play there for them with Brandon Graham, who's getting older, but he's playing really well. But I just still think
they'll take Jared Verse and they'll have 14 sacks.
Oh yeah, my guy Jared Verse. All right, there we go. That's the updated draft order. Let us know what you guys are thinking for your favorite team. Maybe a crazy conspiracy theory that you would see within the top 10 or the top 20 that could really shape the draft. We always love to hear those conversations.
The addicts love those, by the way.
I know, it's fantastic. And I love having them too. So like, if you guys have a galaxy brain moment, hit us up. Instagram, Twitter, whatever it is, the show page on Twitter. The next time we do a SpeakPipe, speakpipe.com/NFLSE, hit us with your crazy theory that could impact the 2023 NFL draft. We would love to hear all of it. We love to hear from you guys on those things. You want to talk about all-star games before we
Let's go through a couple.
Cool. All right, so you how do you want to do this? You want to go through some accepted invites first?
I have a handful of accepted Senior Bowl invites that are notable to me, and then I think you and I were going to have a little discussion of how the quarterback crop could shake up, because that's really the big mystery, I think, right now.
Here. So who you got? Who do you want to shout out?
Right off the top of the Senior Bowl roster, the tandem defensive tackle tandem with Siaki Ika and Keanu Benton. Ika from Baylor, people have heard a lot about on this show. Keanu
Beef.
Benton from Wisconsin. Oh my goodness, God.
Beef.
These two, I will find a way on the field for one-on-ones just to watch these two and whoever has to stand in front of them.
I thought you were to say that you were going to go one-on-one. You were
no,
like,
I would,
you,
I would,
you literally said, die. I'm going to find a way on the field for one-on-ones. That's what you said. That
for
is
content,
what you said.
If you want to film it for the Stock Exchange Twitter for content, I would do it. I would take one death blow from Benton or Ika. And then I would be on the IR. I'll do it the day three of practice so I don't miss the rest of the week. One death blow. One
yeah,
long
fine.
Arm.
No, it's fine. Yeah, yeah. That'll be good.
I love watching these two.
You got like three weeks between the Senior Bowl and the Combine. You could rest up a little bit, you know? You'll be all right.
I would, knowing if I had to do that, I would eat 700 PB&Js those leading up to the, just so I can weigh as much as I can so I don't actually die in the turf.
That would be good. That'd be good. All right, so I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You're
looking
no,
forward
no, you're
to
these guys. Good. These guys are good, man. They're really good. They're guys that can be true nose tackles, which I think has become an oddly lost art in the draft over years. You have all these attacking players, D-line getting maybe not necessarily that much thinner, but quicker. I mean, Ika has played as high as 360. He probably plays around 350. He's just a house, dude. He's a freaking house. Ben's listed at 315. He looks bigger. He looks huge. I watched a lot of Ika over the summer, but I didn't watch Benton until this year. Just this wrecking ball type mentality. He's got a strong club rip. He could swim. I think he's got good feet for such a beefy player. So when I saw these two as accepted invites, I was like, oh, we're getting some D-line headliners from this class. I mean, of course, we know about Jalen Carter and Bazee that are underclassmen, but these are really, really good players that I think they're gonna make a lot of noise when they get in those two-on-ones, one-on-ones, even full practice 11-on-11. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned these guys being bigger and that traditional nose tackle kind of being a lost art, if you will. I've seen Mina Kimes talk about this year. I've seen Nate Tice talk about this year, where football is a cyclical thing, right? It just, I don't want to say like history tends to repeat itself, but when the NFL goes lighter in some ways, well, then some teams are going to be like, okay, well, then we're going to hit you with power. We're going to hit you with bigger guys. And then all of a sudden the NFL swings that direction and then people will counter to get more speed on the field. And so that part of it's very cyclical. We're in an age where the NFL is getting more receivers, lighter boxes, lighter speed onto the field on offense. And they're doing a lot of outside zone, mid zone things. They're getting offensive linemen on the hoof. They're trying to get into the sideline. And that's very popular right now. But ways to counter that. In doing so, we have then seen defenses counter with, again, more speed on the field. So you're getting lighter boxes. It's not as heavier boxes as it used to be. And then now we are seeing some teams start to run those traditional power run plays more, go more up the middle, hit your dual blocks, hit like, you know, hit gap scheme plays, right? Be heavy again. And
yep.
in order to counter that, guess what teams are going to start to do now? Draft bigger defensive linemen. They're going to go back to that and they're going to have to get these beefy boys back on the roster anytime they're facing a team that's going to play them with a little bit more power than what is the traditional norm right now. So they've pointed that out. I totally agree with them. I could see that being where the NFL is going, and we're going to prioritize those big guys a little bit more. I think that Jordan Davis was somebody who really started a movement and started a lot of conversations of, okay, well, where do you draft a guy like this? And some teams really valued him a lot higher than others, but I do believe that the NFL is going back to a point where offensive lines are going to try to play a lot more power and defenses they're going to have to counter. So I think that those two guys have a lot of money to make in Mobile, no doubt about it. A couple of players that really stood out to me, I just want to make sure. Devon Witherspoon won, my boy.
Oh, yeah.
Witherspoon
I saw
Island.
That one, and I was like, Trevor's going to run with that for sure.
I have to. I love Devon Witherspoon. He plays the cornerback position with such an attitude, with such
That's
a chip
awesome.
On his shoulder. He's somebody who I can't wait to see go up against different kinds of wide receivers from other parts of the country, not just in the Big Ten, where he's been playing really well this year. I am interested to see Kai Blue Kelly, the corner from Stanford, taller guy, a man coverage press corner guy, and anytime that is your natural state to play up in press man coverage, teams are going to take notice because they'd love to get those guys on the team to be able to call it at certain spots. The issue with Kelly for me is that when he has a lot of plays that are negative dings, I'll say on his PFF grade, I've noticed it's a lot of strength issues, you know, whether it's standing up at the point of attack when wide receivers are trying to get into their stem or contested catches or going for tackles or getting through blocks or things like that, things that require a higher strength profile that seems to be a deficiency in his game right now. I'm interested to see how he goes up against these different wide receivers as well. So those are two defensive backs that I'm definitely looking forward to seeing. I think the biggest name on here right now, at least on defense, Connor, it's got to be Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech, right? People talk about him as a potential top 20, top 15, maybe even top 10 overall pick. That's rich for my blood. When I sat down and watched him a couple of weeks ago, he's what, 6'6", 6'7", he's 270 pounds. I mean, he is a big, long, uniquely built edge rusher, but he doesn't use that length the way that you would want to right now. I think he plays with a lot of physicality, but there's too often where you would draft a guy with that kind of size, hoping that he could be a mismatch with how he uses it. He doesn't really use it nearly as much as I wanted him to, or at least that I saw on his tape. So he's still very raw, but again, Senior Bowl is a really great place to put some of that NFL teaching to use, see how quick of a learner he can be with some of the coaching that he's going to get from an NFL staff there. And I think that he's somebody who everybody's got to have their eye on the defensive side of the ball for sure.
He's got that interesting, unique Carlos Dunlap build. He just hasn't maximized how to use it, like you said, yet. But that's a big time accepted invite. Another one that, you know, we loved over summer, Owen Papo. He's just freakish what he can do.
I am looking forward to seeing what Owen Papo can do.
Oh man, he's got some freakish ability. So I loved seeing that one come through. I know, you know, the Senior Bowl practices aren't a place for linebackers necessarily to go rip it up in terms of what they're asked to do, but he just is going to move so well down there that I think people are going to be like, oh, this guy is he's just moves differently for a linebacker. Another one that probably is really important, depending on what he can do, is Luke Musgrave, the tight end.
The Oregon State tight end, yeah,
because he's been hurt for months, and he's somebody that I think could get looped in with that Tucker Kraft, Dalton Kincaid, day two tight ends. And we just haven't seen him lately. So if he's healthy and good to go for Mobile, it's kind of a reminder, right? Remember last year we got down there and we saw what McBride and Rucker and those guys can do. And everybody was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So Musgrave. And then the last one I had written down was Andre Yosevich, the wide receiver from Princeton, who we talked about over the summer, just because of his track and field background and coming from a program like Princeton, where he's going to want to show he belongs on the field with all those kinds of high level power five athletes. And this dude can fly. He can absolutely fly. So a huge opportunity for him.
I'm looking forward to seeing two Texas guys as well. Roschon Johnson's the running back who plays behind Bijan Robinson, who, you know, I feel like if he was basically anywhere else in the country, he might be getting a little bit more play, but we grade Roschon Johnson pretty high, and I've liked what I've seen in flashes from him, obviously in a lighter role behind.
It's like coming on the stage after Led Zeppelin played. You're like, what am I supposed to do? Like, come on.
Right.
Poor Roschon, so, man. I like that. Good call out, Trevor.
I have liked what I've seen from him. He's just, you know, you're not going to take carries and touches away from Bijan, so there's nothing that he could do about it. And another guy on the other side of the ball, DeMarvion Overshown. This is another very uniquely built player. He's listed at linebacker, plays a lot of inside linebacker, has played inside linebacker for them over the last couple of seasons. But he came to Texas actually as a safety recruit. He was, I think, the number six safety in the country in his recruiting class. He's 6'4", 220 pounds now, wears number zero, wears the most armbands that you're ever going to see from a player.
That's what people will realize right away.
He is just, you know, as a downhill guy, they use him in a lot of different ways. And when you're a linebacker who's got safety speed, safety athleticism, yet you're 6'4", it presents unique challenges, especially when you are blitzing up the middle, these delayed blitzes, or even blitzing as an edge rusher, right? They'll line him up at edge sometimes, and the versatility that you can have with DeMarvion Overshown is just very, very intriguing. So I can't wait to see where they put him, how creative they get, if they give him some edge rush reps, if they want to have him as a stand-up outside linebacker type for a potential 3-4 team. I think he could fit that mold. He's got plenty of experience as an inside linebacker as well, so you'll see him in 3-4 formations on the inside as well as 4-3. I think he can do a variety of different things for you, especially with how well he moves. So those are two guys that are on the Senior Bowl's accepted list that I'm also really looking forward to seeing when we get down to Mobile.
All right. Who's playing quarterback? Yeah, that's what I want to do.
Who's playing quarterback in Mobile? That's what everyone cares about. Yes.
Everyone cares about.
They have one accepted invite yet, right? They
got one accepted invite, and I guarantee maybe one person listening to this show has ever seen this person play because he plays Division II football.
The Shepherd kid, right?
Kid from Shepherd.
Okay.
Tyson Bagent or Bagent. I don't know how to say his last name yet. You want to know how deep of a cut this one is? And I'm not saying he can't play. I'm actually very excited to see what he could do down there.
Sure.
Trevor and I puff our chest out all the time on this show and talk about PFF Ultimate, which is, it will change your life more than just about anything. I haven't been able to find his D2, and there's a lot of levels of football on Ultimate. I have not watched him yet because I don't think his film is accessible yet. So I might have to go to a very different route to watch him play. But this is the only guy that we have on the quarterback list right now.
He has been named a first-team All-American. He was a first-team All-American last year. He was
smashed records.
PSAC East Offensive Player of the Year the last two seasons. He was a first-team in that conference. Also, yeah, of course. We all know the PSAC. He was a first-team selection the last 2 years as well. In 2021, how do you say his last name?
Bagent? I was trying to figure it out.
Bagent?
That's how I would think. Okay. Don't forget, he's the Don Hanson Division II Offensive Player of the Year.
Oh, who can ever forget about the Don Hanson Division II Player
finalist.
Of the Year? He passed for over 5,000 yards and 53 touchdowns. All right, so this kid can sling it. After the season, he entered the transfer portal and visited West Virginia and Maryland, but ultimately opted to stay at Shepherd for his final season of eligibility. Okay.
It's cool when guys like this are on the radar.
6'3", 210 pounds. Okay, so he's not super short. Oh, where's number two? Wow, he's got long hair.
Long hair tattoos.
Wait. Got a full arm sleeve as well? Dude. Yeah,
I'm telling you. The aesthetic is like NCAA football create a player aesthetic.
Okay, this is my new Cole McDonald. I've been hurt before, and damn it, I'll get hurt again. Okay, so he is in. He is in the Senior Bowl. He has accepted his invite. They will bring six quarterbacks, we think. So there's five more. I think Hendon Hooker would have been one of them.
And 100%.
I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do now that Hendon is tore his ACL. Like, does he still get to go?
He can go and take meetings and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's what I think that he's probably going to do.
You need three on each team for the sake of throwing in practice.
Yes, right. So I think that I agree. I think that he'll be there, but obviously you still need five other quarterbacks. The other big ones that I think we...
Hold on. What? Can we, for the sake of the show, can we call the Shepherd quarterback TB2?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we could do that.
Okay.
We can absolutely do
that. Five more spots after TB2.
I think Will Levis, I think certainly Jim Nagy and the staff there would love to get Will Levis because Will Levis is
and he's got to, he has to go.
So he's certainly going to be somebody who's going to get an invite. I got to think. So Will Levis is one. Honestly, the next one on the list is Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nix is the next guy who's probably on their list that they want to be at the game. Stetson Bennett is another one. Stetson Bennett's a senior, so I got to think that Stetson
Bennett's...
That one's
tougher for me, but I get
there.
It.
I think he's going to be there. So that, to me, is three. So I think those are the three. And then
Bo Nix from? Arkadelphia.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Love to say it when we can.
The, the interesting name there. So I genuinely think there is a debate between the last two. And for the last two...
Did you write Stetson in?
I think Stetson's... I think, yes, Stetson's going to be there. I think Stetson's going to be there. We're projecting this, guys.
Sure, sure, sure. That's the point of the exercise.
We don't know anything. But I would say the Shepherd kid, TB2, goated. He's already accepted his invite. Will Levis is another one. Bo Nix is another one. I'm very, very solidified on those two. And then I'm pretty confident on Stetson Bennett.
I'm more 50-50 on Bennett. The other three, well, we know TB2's
in. Hold on, though. What's the 50-50? That he gets invited or that he accepts the invite?
Oh, if he gets invited, he has to go.
Brother, he's going. Come on. He's looked better this year than he ever has before. I'm not out here saying Stetson Bennett's a first-round pick.
He's a sub-6-foot 25-year-old.
Yeah, but he's going to be at the Senior Bowl.
Oh, man. All right.
I'll bet you $5, okay?
Okay,
And then I'm going to call up Jim Nagy myself and say, Jim, I'll split the $5 with you.
And then Jim will be like, all right, well, I have to invite
him. I am
now.
Pretty confident with Stetson Bennett being there. If you look at the rest of the invite list, Clayton Toon has accepted his invite to the Shrine Bowl, as has Aiden O'Connell, who I love that those two guys are going to be in Vegas. We'll talk about some of the Vegas acceptances in a second. But those two guys are off the list. The other quarterbacks that I would throw out there for those last two spots, Michael Penix Jr., your boy.
100%.
Devin Leary. Jaren Hall. Jake
Haner.
That's
a good one.
Malik Cunningham. Brennan Armstrong.
Cam Rising.
And then Jordan Travis would be the other one. Well, I guess Dorian Thompson Robinson too, but I would put a handful of these other quarterbacks above him.
You know who else I think will be in the mix? And I don't think he's been very good this year, but I wouldn't be floored by him being in that combo as Keaton Slovis.
There's so many.
But I wouldn't put him over the other guys that you read. Keaton.
Oh, Sam Hartman's on this list too. Okay.
This is tricky. If you asked me over summer, wouldn't you think Devin Leary was the surest thing to be that Senior Bowl guy?
Yeah, probably. Probably. And
obviously, things change.
I would say at this point, Michael Penix Jr. being one. And then maybe still Devin Leary, dude. Is Devin Leary hurt? I know he got hurt.
He got hurt.
Is he back? We should know this.
I don't think so.
We should know this. No.
He has not played since October 8th.
Yeah, he had a season-ending injury. Yeah.
If he has eligibility, don't you think he'd go back again?
Torn pectoral muscle. I think he might.
Bad injury. I didn't realize it was that severe.
I think he might go back then. Okay, so let's say Michael Penix is 5, and then we need a 6. Who's our 6?
This also gets very tricky because it's hard to know who has eligibility that you aren't sure of because you're graduating early.
I mean, we're just taking guesses. Maybe Cam Rising.
I would say Cam Rising.
Okay. All right. I know a lot of people love Jordan Travis. Shout out Andrew, who I think has been bringing up Jordan Travis to us on Twitter, but we haven't been able to get to it. And we didn't do a stock watch episode this week, so we didn't get to Jordan Travis. But now I'm bringing up Jordan Travis's name. So there you go, Andrew. I'm shouting out Jordan Travis.
Man, it might be Jaren Hall.
It might be. Jaren Hall would be a good one. He's an older prospect, but he'd be
when I go through all of this, all I think is Penix has to. He's better than a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
He's better than Stetson Bennett and Bo Nix.
I'd love to see it. So those are 6. You want to shout? Let's go over to the Shrine Bowl because there are a couple of guys who accepted their Shrine Bowl invites as well who I think really stand out. First one's Brenton Cox Jr., right? This one becomes huge.
Fascinating story.
He is accepted his invite. And obviously him going to Vegas to participate in this event for a lot of reasons is huge. He really needs to stand out against his competition like he did at times at Florida. So that's not out of the question, but certainly with him getting dismissed from the team, this is the first time that we'll see him since that Georgia game. So that's one that definitely stands out to me. I mentioned Clayton Toon. I mentioned Aiden O'Connell. I'm really excited to see Aiden O'Connell. He is somebody who I've had a soft spot for watching quarterbacks over the last couple of years. Was not his best season this past season, but man, he has just got such a gunslinger's mentality. I love the ball, how the ball comes out of his hand. I love his decision making. At times, I don't know. Sometimes it's weird to say I love his decision making at times, but man, there are sometimes when he can drop back so confidently, read the field, go through progressions, fire that ball exactly where it needs to go. And there are other times when maybe he believes in his arm a little bit too much and he throws it into harm's way a little too much. But that is somebody who I think I'm most excited about, Aiden O'Connell. And then the final guy on this accepted list that they have right now is Zay Flowers, the wide receiver for Boston College.
Yeah, me too.
I think Zay is going to dominate this event.
Me too.
I really do. I think we're going to leave Vegas. Now, there's a lot of guys that could still fill out this roster, so I could walk this back and say that I like some other guys as well. But no matter who's going to come to this event, I think we're going to be talking about Zay Flowers in a very positive light after the Shrine Bowl. So I'm very excited to get to see him there as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. That was the name, I think, besides Brenton Cox, that popped on the list to me. Someone that you look at and go, okay, he could have been it. Either all-star game. We've been aware of Zay Flowers for a while. He's already got 70 catches, near 1,000 yards this year, 10 touchdowns. I mean, he's been a consistent target hog of that. He's the passing offense for Boston College when you watch it. I mean, you just look at their target share. He's got 115 targets this year, Trevor, and the next closest guy is their tight end with 41. So the offense is funneled through him in terms of the pass game.
And he's so much more physical of a receiver than I thought he was going to be, right? He looks like this shorter, shiftier slot kind of a player. And this dude will go up and make some contested catches on you. I love his game. I think it's a lot more all around than he's getting credit for. So I think he's definitely going to stand out. We have more Senior Bowl acceptances that we were able to comb through than Shrine Bowl ones, but we'll certainly be checking back in on both of these lists as we go throughout draft season. But good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Absolutely.
I'm already very excited for this list.
Me too. It's fun to track the invites, track the rosters, because we'll get down there and, you know, get to watch all of it. And it matters a lot. It matters a lot for the draft process. So it's obviously just a huge part of this show.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. We got a new sponsor on today's podcast, just so you guys know. It's our friends over at BroThrow. If you ever bet on sports with your friends, well, BroThrow is the only sports betting platform that allows you to bet directly with friends in all 50 states. That's right. No fees, no juice, no middleman. BroThrow is not a sports book, and not paying the juice to a sports book saves you a ton of money over time. BroThrow is a social platform. Okay. Take control of who you bet with, know who's on the other side of every bet you place, and create and accept. Easily create and accept bets, easily track your profits and payments, and always see the value of all the bets right in front of you. You don't have to deposit any money into a BroThrow account either. Bettors pay each other directly. That's why it's a social platform. Connect your Venmo, your Cash App, your PayPal, your Skrill, your Strike, whatever it is. Betting $11 just to win $10 stinks. Where did that other dollar go, right? You want to earn that as well. With BroThrow, you bet $10, you win $10. Simple as that. Throw out your first bet. Go to brothrow.com/stock. Use the promo code STOCK. BroThrow is free to sign up for. Cut out the middleman and start betting on BroThrow. That is brothrow.com/stock. Finally, we got to tell you about our friends over at Symbol. You guys have heard me talk about them before, but our sponsor Symbol has their best offer for new users yet. Symbol is offering a $500 risk-free deposit for new users who join the stock market for sports. When you sign up with the promo code NFLSE, your first deposit comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. If you were hesitant on joining or simply just haven't joined yet, now you can do so with a risk-free deposit. As a reminder, Symbol lets you trade pro and college teams like stocks and even earn cash dividend payouts when your teams win. Symbol is a peer-to-peer market that took the thrill of sports betting and turned it into the stock market to give fans a new way to speculate on your favorite pro and college teams. Now you can join them with a $500 money-back guarantee. Download the Symbol app for iOS by searching S-I-M-B-U-L-L in the App Store and use the promo code NFLSE to get your risk-free deposit up to $500. Whether you want to invest in up-and-coming teams like maybe the Detroit Lions or the new top dog in the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs, Symbol allows you to buy and sell teams like stocks to profit off of your sports knowledge. Check them out over at Symbol.com and the Symbol app. Buddy, what is your what's your ideal Thanksgiving plate before we get out of here? Ideal. Ooh.
All right. Well, we have to have, there's staples that have to be on there, whether you're celebrating or not. You're going to fire up turkey, mashed potatoes gravy. It's going to be a lot of the plate. Got to go with the cranberry out of the can.
Oh, you like it? You like
it? I do. Yeah, I love it.
Oh, I don't. I'm not a fan.
Oh, really? It's very, right? It is a big divide on it.
It's a polarizing one. It's polarizing.
It is. And I understand why somebody would be like, that's disgusting. But it's, I don't know. I like it. Got to have the sweet potatoes with the marshmallow and cinnamon.
Ooh, on top. All right. Okay. All right.
All right.
Sweet, too. I feel like, I see what it is. Yeah, that's a solid plate.
It's a good balance. I throw corn basically all around the potatoes.
There we go.
What are we missing? I know mac and cheese is a big Thanksgiving thing. It depends where I am, but obviously mac and cheese is phenomenal.
I'm a big mac and cheese guy. It'll be on
I'll eat mac and cheese with any meal. That's the thing. So
you're right.
Where else are we going? You know what's a weird one that I actually like on the plate? Mm. I like carrots. Steamed carrots.
Ooh, okay. That's not bad. I don't hate steamed carrots.
It meshes very well with the Thanksgiving plate. And I don't know how many times a year I say I want steamed carrots on my plate, but it mixes really well with Thanksgiving. Am I missing a key one? I've said before that like, I could take or leave stuffing, and I know that's the goat side for everybody.
Love stuffing.
Yeah,
love
stuffing. Everybody responds that way.
Love stuffing.
It's fine. Yeah. If there's room on the plate, it'll make the cut. I don't think we'll do a ham. That's always the wild card, if ham's going to be it. But ham's not really that.
I don't like ham anyways.
You don't like ham at all? Do you like
a low-tier
like breakfast ham? Pork roll. Taylor ham. I have to say pork roll because, of course. Taylor ham is...
Dude, Taylor ham, egg and cheese on an everything bagel. Goat.
You ever have Taylor ham on a burger?
No.
Got it. You haven't lived until you do that.
Wow. Now I need
Taylor ham, egg burger. Oh, man.
I'm going turkey. I'm going mashed potatoes. I'm going stuffing. We can throw a little bit of corn on top of the mashed potatoes.
You know, there's the guy that knows what he's doing.
Drown all that bad boy right there. Those three, you drown them all in gravy. Then you'll put mac and cheese on there. I'm a Brussels sprouts guy, so we'll go a little Brussels sprouts on there.
I do like myself some Brussels sprouts.
Buddy, we are living. That is my ideal Thanksgiving plate. And then, you know, you maybe throw a roll in there just because carbs don't count on holidays. You know, you just...
Oh, you got to have the roll. Yeah, you got to have the roll.
Throw a little roll in there. Carbs don't count on
carbs
holidays.
Never count. Ever.
How do you think we got the 64240?
Yeah, you gotta have carbs. Anyone that doesn't is just cheating their life.
Thanksgiving is all about giving thanks, right? Obviously, we talk about the football. We get to watch the food. We get to enjoy the friends and family that are there. But obviously, it's a holiday for giving thanks. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Is this just me or depending where you are? Because once again, I spend Thanksgiving at a lot of different places over the years.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if your family says grace, but if they do you dread being picked?
We don't pick I have a big extended family. I have a lot of aunts and uncles and cousins and everything. So we'll probably have 30 people over to my parents' house.
Big Thanksgiving.
It's always my parents' house. Like we have always hosted Thanksgiving. I think it's just because we have like the biggest open concept house. So like everybody can be everywhere and everything. So my dad is always the one who gives grace. We don't have to, you know, we don't like
your dad's a hero. Your dad's a hero. For a long time, I was always the youngest and I would get picked to do
it. Oh, so they tell you to do it. Oh.
And you would think, considering I speak for a living.
Right. You'd be cool with it.
That I would soak this up. But this was before I ever even, I think, did podcasting and all that stuff.
When's the last time they picked you?
Maybe like five.
You're due.
But why I'm nervous is this is my first Thanksgiving at my girlfriend's. And I hope they don't default to me.
Well,
can I say no? Can I say pass?
You can't say pass, but I do think that'd be kind of weird, right? If they were like, Connor, you're the guest. Why don't you do grace? I feel like that's kind of weird, right? Like the host has got to do grace.
Yeah, I don't think they'll put me in that spot. They are quite lovely people. So,
I'll
just say pass if they do. I'll be like, I'm good.
Chris's dad just gonna be like, oh, he's one of those.
I'm calling an audible at the line of scrimmage. You just start tapping the helmet.
You're a bold man. Yeah. You just start like looking around and you just start tapping the helmet, trying to call some sort of audible.
Hot route.
Yeah, so you know what? That's what Peyton Manning did it. It'll work for you.
Why can't I? Absolutely. Thank you, Trevor.
Why can't I? There you
New
go.
Confidence.
Like I was saying, Thanksgiving, it's a time to give thanks. We're thankful for all you guys that listen to the podcast and interact with us on Twitter, social media in any way, whether it's Instagram or Twitter, the main accounts, our personal accounts, whatever it is. Thank you guys so much for listening to this draft show, this crazy NFL show. We know you got a million different places that you can take in football content. And I hope I truly say this to everybody who reaches out, but it does. It means the world when you guys say that you listen to the podcast and that you want to get on a topic and a conversation. And whether you've sent in your voicemails in a speak pipe or you haven't yet, or you've reached out on social media, just whatever it is. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. It makes our job a lot of fun. Yeah, we are very thankful for all of you. So I appreciate you guys.
Man, I echo every bit of that. It's why we get to do this, because we have the listenership that we do, and it's why we get to invest so much time into it. And it's awesome. Super thankful for it. And it's what makes the show go. And this show has a very fun couple of months ahead of it. It's like when Thanksgiving ends, this show begins. So buckle up, everybody, because it's going to be just tremendous content going forward.
We're going full court press from here on out. So enjoy the fantastic food, the fantastic time with your loved ones as well. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Connor and I will be back to talk about everything that you see in the football world on Monday morning. Thanks for listening to the NFL Stock Exchange. We'll see you guys then.